This is Mike Corey from ESPN, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast as we sit here on a beautiful Tuesday evening in January as we're getting closer and closer to baseball, Bubba.
Yeah, no doubt, Kyle. Forgive some technical difficulties as we get things underway here, but welcome into the show. We appreciate everyone tuning in, whether it's right now live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. And remember, our show can always be found pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, including but not limited to Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify. It's hard to believe, but we're just 3.5 weeks from first pitch as the Pirates will host the Bryant Bulldogs on that weekend of February 18th. And we had our annual media day on Monday. Coach Godwin, all of his assistants, and a variety of players met with members of the local media. This guy that we're about to introduce was on hand, and the news officially broke today. We have a new play-by-play voice for East Carolina baseball, and that is Scott, better known as Scooter Rogers. Scooter, welcome into the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I appreciate you coming on such a short notice. I really wanted to talk about everything that has transpired in a hurry for you. We found out, very shortly after the Super Regional last year out at Vanderbilt, that Corey Glore would, in fact, be moving on to be the director of broadcasting for the Tulane Green Wave. And Corey did an excellent job from 2016 to 2021. And now it's, great to have a new chapter behind the mic, so to speak. I'm glad to have such a diehard Pirate on board, somebody that's very familiar with the program. Just take us back. I talk about that happening way back in June. When did the process really start for you, and how did things go?
So first off, I really started receiving some communication last week, and I think it was last Monday, talking about the possibility of this, and had an interview with Megan Hinchin with Learfield Tuesday of last week. And after the interview process, went to my professors, would be still being a student here at ECU, got it cleared from them to make sure, I could get out of class and that it would work with scheduling, that sort of thing. And once it got cleared by all them, they basically said, this is too good of an opportunity for you at your age and where you're at to turn it up. So once I got that pretty much worked out, we had a follow-up call the next day, which was Wednesday. Told them, I had everything worked out from the school aspects. And once I told them that, they offered me the job, and I gladly accepted.
Jared, you said you found out this opportunity might present itself last Monday, so a little over a week ago. When did you apply for the job, or did somebody reach out to you about the job?
They actually reached out to me about the job. I got a call from Henry Hinton with IBX Media last Monday, and he said, they had some hiccups in finding some people to do this. And he said, I think you would be a great fit for the job. He said, would you be interested? And I said, absolutely. And he was the one who kind of put it all together with Learfield and got me in touch with them to get the process started.
What's your background, Scott? What's your, you're a young guy, you're 21, you're still a student in East Carolina. I read briefly today online, you've been doing, some PA work for Greenville Little League, et cetera. What's your background with broadcasting and your background with baseball?
Stopped playing baseball, which was right after Little League, I really got involved with the Little League program here and in a volunteer role, just helping out in the field, that sort of thing. And then when, they kind of realized, hey, he really likes the behind-the-scenes stuff, being in the press box, that sort of stuff. They brought me on as a scorekeeper, which the scorekeeper duties include, running the scoreboard for the game, keeping the book, and PA announcing. And as I started getting older and, my voice started changing, you know, I kind of realized, hey, you know, I got a deep voice, and people, you know, would always come up to me and say, hey, you sound great. You know, you should really do broadcasting or something like that for a living. And, you know, more and more people started saying that to me through over the years. And I said, hey, maybe I actually got a shot at doing something like this. And it's really, really transpired over the last really 2 years, I would say. In 2019, Jay Trost High School brought me on to start doing football and basketball games for PA. And then late, I think it was last year during COVID, my first game at ECU doing PA was when they played Duke, which had very limited fans there. That was one thing I always remember from that game. But that's kind of how over the past 2 years, I've really grown into a PA role. And then broadcasting from a play-by-play perspective, during the 2020 season, Greenville Little League, we started broadcasting all the games because we couldn't have any fans. We only had 25 fans in attendance for all the games in 2020. And so, which, as most people know, Little League in Greenville is a big, big deal. And we have mega, mega crowds for most of our games. And, you know, we could not keep all those people away without seeing games. And so we came out, and Chris Riddle, who was one of our umpires, came up with a really, really good broadcast of the games. And so I started doing play-by-play for some of those. And also I filled in a couple times with 94.3 The Game doing Rose High football play-by-play when they've needed someone to step in as well. So I've got that play-by-play experience on a, I would say, limited basis. But, you know, that was one thing I stressed to Learfield and ECU was, you know, hey, if you give me this job, you know, this 100% of my devotion is going to be towards this, and I'm going to work as hard as I can to become the best play-by-play announcer in all of college baseball.
So what are you doing in the meantime? And I'm sure you've done this beforehand. You know, you mentioned doing the play-by-play for Little League. You mentioned doing the play-by-play for Rose. So right now, get into this opportunity. It's a hell of a jump from Little League to Division I baseball in a top 20 premier Division I baseball team. And what are you doing right now to work on your play-by-play skills? I'm sure. Are you going on YouTube and turning down ball games and voicing over and stuff like that?
You know, really the first thing that I've done is I've gone back to last year and listened to a lot of Corey Glore's broadcasts and just listened to, you know, how he describes plays, how he does promos, because a lot of people don't realize promotions are a big part of the play-by-play aspect, especially from a marketing standpoint, because people pay obviously top dollar to get their name out there, and they want you to sound at your best when you say their announcements. And, you know, listening to him, taking notes on how he says things, listening to how he talks to Coach O during games is another big thing when you have a color guy. And, you know, one thing that is going to be hard to do, which is hard at any level for baseball, because there's so much downtime in between pitches and stuff like that. But one thing that Corey did so well on was the road games when he did not have Coach O there to do color and just continuously, you know, talk and carry on that conversation. So, you know, but like you just said, in the near, really this coming week, you know, I'm going to be watching many major league games, many ECU games, and really start voicing over and really start perfecting my announcing as we get closer to the season.
Now, Scott, you bring up Coach O, Dr. Gary Overton, winning his coach in East Carolina baseball history, has been a color analyst for a long, long time now. So just talk about the luxury of having such an excellent color analyst like Coach O, who not only does a great job with the broadcast aspects of it, but has a tremendous knowledge of the game, has served as a regional coordinator throughout the NCAA tournament, and so on and so forth.
First off, it's a complete honor to have him on the broadcast for what he's done for East Carolina athletics. And, you know, I've joked with many people over the past week, you know, he's, as many people know, Marvin Jarman and his association with Rose High School, you know, he's really the Marvin Jarman of ECU. You know, he's been here forever. He knows everything about ECU baseball, everything about ECU athletics. And to have that knowledge on the broadcast is going to be amazing. And to be able to work beside him is a complete honor.
I just want to – I don't know. How well do you know Coach O? How much have you interacted with him up until this point?
I know him very well. He's really our boss. I work at the scores table for all the basketball games at ECU. So I see Coach O during basketball season almost on a daily basis.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I didn't know if you knew this or not, but if you ever get a chance to go out to dinner or lunch with Coach O, maybe on a rare road game, he does go on the road with you. He loves to pay, so stick him with the check. He's notorious. He loves to pay for everybody's meals and drinks, and so just stick him with the check, and he'll be happy.
Gotcha.
Hey, now, Scott, Kyle asked an excellent question as far as your background in broadcasting and as a PA announcer. So I have a question here for you from Charles on Facebook. He said, did Scott ever work for the college radio station?
I have not. I've not really done much with WZMV, but this is actually my first year at East Carolina. I got a associate's in arts degree from Pitt Community College before I transferred to ECU. I wanted to go that route first just to kind of save some money because, as we all know, college is not the cheapest thing in the world. This is actually my first year at East Carolina, and I'd not really thought about doing it because really I had not had much time because I really wanted to keep doing Little League and Rose and everything. But obviously with this now, I would had to give some of that up. But no, I have not worked with the radio station for the college.
Also, some other folks chiming in on Facebook as well as YouTube. Mark Calloway saying hello, and then Josh Thomas, from out in the left field jungle. He says, "Congrats, Scooter." And then Craig says, "All right, Scooter, make me a fan. I love me some Corey Glore. Bring it." And then you also have Richard Allsbrook, a very familiar face to the program and the Greenville and ECU communities, saying, "Congratulations, my friend. Very happy for you. Can you have a live remote call from out in the jungle?" And that's something we talked about with Corey Glore, saying how fun that would be to call a game from out there. And I'm sure it would be hard at times to focus.
It would be. I was on the Patrick Johnson show before I came on with you guys, and that question came up there too. And I told him I think that would be a very cool thing to do. I said the FCC would probably have to be on stand for that because there's no telling what would come out over the air if we were in the jungle. But I think that would be a great opportunity. I know you guys probably remember ESPN Sunday Night Baseball doing some telecast out from the outfield, I think at Wrigley, and I think at Fenway Park as well. And I remember how cool those broadcasts were. So I think it would be a outstanding thing to do.
Scott, now,
go ahead, Kyle.
Go ahead, Bubba.
Very quickly, while we were talking about, your background and, preparing for this job, when you talk about listening to Corey Glore, obviously you have another tremendous resource right there with Jeff Charles. Have you had the opportunity to talk with The Voice at all?
I have not had the opportunity to talk to The Voice at all, but I would love, if given the opportunity to talk to Jeff Charles and meet him and really ask for some advice, because you can't get much more better than Jeff Charles when it comes to the radio business.
Scott, you mentioned having to call road games typically without a color analyst. Coach will make some trips. Sometimes Malcolm will step in and do some analyst work. But you talked about how Corey was really good at filling time, on open air, a lot of downtime on his own. He was good at telling stories, bringing up topics, interacting on social media. Do you have any plans, things that you'll do? I think the interacting on social media, getting people to tweet at you, things like that is probably a really good approach to take.
I do. I would love to. I'm definitely going to keep up the tweeting during the games. I think that was one thing that, really set Corey aside from a lot of people, was the way he involved the fans during the broadcast from when he was here. That's definitely something I'm going to keep up. But I have had some thoughts on some stuff to do throughout the game as well. And I'm looking to implement those for the upcoming season. But yes, live tweeting into the broadcast will definitely still be kept.
Scott, one thing, Corey, and you can't, and you're not going to be Corey. You don't need to be Corey. You don't need to try to be Corey. Mm-hmm. Because if you do, you're going to suck. Because right. Corey's Corey, you're Scott. One thing Corey did, as I say, don't be Corey. one thing Corey did was he was a big movie buff, and he liked to work in movie lines. Obviously, you don't want to just copy that, because that would be, you know, that's like, again, that's Corey, you're Scott. But is there anything you're really into? I mean, besides baseball, obviously. Are you into music? Are you a big movie buff like he was? Video games? What could be your niche, your interesting little aspect to bring to ECU broadcast?
One thing that I really have enjoyed with Little League doing those is, you know, we did a questionnaire for all the players for that broadcast and had them write down, you know, their favorite food, their favorite subject in school, those sorts of things. So I think somewhere on that side, I think would be an interesting twist to these broadcasts. Maybe not necessarily doing a questionnaire for every player, but, you know, really sitting down and really getting to know these players and kind of letting the audience know, you know, these players have a life outside of ECU baseball and what the players like to do, that sort of thing. Like at Media Day the other day, you know, everybody was asking who had the best hair on the team, and everybody was saying Zach Agnos, more than likely. Stuff like that I think is cool to add to the broadcast. You can ask my girlfriend. She gets very irritated with me a lot of times on movie nights because I'm not a big movie guy. I can probably count on my two hands how many movies I've watched from start to finish in my lifetime. I love music. I'm a big country music guy. If you ask my girlfriend, she'll know.
All right, Scott. All right. Wait a minute now. All right. You just opened Pandora's box, my friend. Oh, you say you're a big country music guy. Now, give me your top three artists, and then I'm going to decide if you're a big country music guy.
My top three artists right now would probably be Luke Combs at the top. From old school wise, I would say George Strait is in there, and I would also say Garth Brooks.
Okay, now I'm gonna give you a pass on that. I was looking for a little bit more better answers. I'll take those answers, those answers are acceptable. I can dig some 90s country. You know, you went with Garth, you went with George Strait. Luke Combs a little bit too mainstream for my taste. I'm more of a Cody Jinks, Whiskey Myers, Jamie Johnson, you know, Chris Stapleton, Cody Johnson, Tyler Childress, all those kind of guys. So are you into any of that?
I do. I love Chris Stapleton, love Tyler Childress. You know, I'm
Cody Jinks.
I would say I'm a big 2000s country guy too. You know, Clay Walker, I think, is one that.
What about Cody Jinks?
Cody Jinks is good. I like him. There's a couple songs that I have from him on my playlist.
I'll share some Cody Jinks stuff with you, Scott. We gotta. You know, there's more to Cody than just loud and heavy. We gotta get you in the Cody Jinks. It's that's vitally important to the future of ECU baseball. The Scooter becomes a huge Cody Jinks fan.
Okay, I'll have to put that in the plans for the broadcast over the season.
There you go.
Now, Scooter, I'm going back to that topic of the players. Pretty natural segue onto Mark Calloway's question on YouTube. Going back to what you were saying as far as, you know, questionnaires and getting to know the players and personal interests and so forth. But Mark said, have you met the team yet? Obviously, you're a student, so I'd imagine you know at least some of the guys.
Yeah, I've not met the whole team as a whole yet. I have had the opportunity to talk to Coach Godwin. I talked to him yesterday at Media Day, talked to Blake Hardigree for a while at Media Day as well, talked to a lot of coaches as well. But I've not met the team as a whole yet, but I am looking forward to, you know, obviously I'll be traveling with the team for road games. So I'm very looking forward to getting to know the team very well throughout the season.
And Scott, in addition to Corey Glore and Jeff Charles, I know, you know, who are some of those other broadcasters out there, you know, whether it's more on the radio side of things or maybe it's a, you know, television play-by-play, you know, who are some of those broadcasters that you really enjoy listening to? And, you know, while, like Kyle said, you know, focusing on being yourself, really, you know, take some things from them because obviously, anybody that wants to improve in whatever field they're in, it wouldn't be very wise, you know, to not take a look at your industry's top talent.
Right. Yeah. Off the top of my head, I would say some of my favorites. I'm a big Atlanta Braves fan, so I love listening to Ben Ingram and Jim Powell on the Braves Radio Network. With my involvement with Greenville Little League, as many of you know, Brian Weingart, our commissioner, is a diehard Detroit Tigers fan, and he loves listening to the radio, listening to games on the radio. Growing up, that's how he listened to the games, so he still does it. So I really have come to like Dan Dickerson and Jim Price with the Tigers radio crew. And also, this one might throw you for something here, but I really love watching Bill Walton broadcast on ESPN. I think he is hilarious. I know he's not much of a quote-unquote real sports announcer, but I love listening to his broadcast. I think it is a unique way to listen to a basketball game.
Scott, we have Jared Plummer chiming in on Facebook. Obviously, Jared's a member of that left field jungle. Mm-hmm. He says, what's your favorite part of being out in the jungle over the years? And then a second part of that question, or a second question, I should say, is who has the strongest megaphone game?
Strongest megaphone game. I'll answer that one first. It has to go to Brian Dilday. He's the original one out there, and he comes up with a lot of great lines for those left fielders. But I definitely, Brian Dilday has the strongest megaphone game. But in terms of being out in the jungle and how special it is, you know, meeting so many people out there and becoming lifelong friends with them, you know, we have a group chat with a lot of guys from out there that, you know, we text and talk to each other daily, pretty much, about so many different topics in the world and ECU. But you just meeting so many people and going out there and seeing, you know, it's the same faces every single game. You know that those guys are going to be there every single game. And I think that's what makes ECU baseball and the jungle so special.
Scott, I don't know if you've given this a lot of thought yet. It's probably a little early in the game for this, so to speak. You look at what Corey did, turning the ECU baseball play-by-play into being the director of broadcasting down at Tulane. Mm-hmm. Chris Haymeyer left here and is the director of broadcasting down at Campbell now. Have you given that thought what an opportunity this is? You know, you're still a junior in college, like you said. I mean, this is something that, you know, if you do well at it, you know, who knows what it could lead to down the road.
Right. Yeah, that was my exact thought. You know, a lot of people say, you know, with any job, if you get your foot in the door at the right time, it could be, you know, it opens up so many doors of opportunities. And, you know, I think this is exactly one of those. You know, if I stay in this role, hopefully for the next however many years, it could open up so many doors for me for opportunities I can't even imagine. And I'm beyond thankful for this opportunity.
Yeah, and, you know, as you talk about this opportunity, and like Kyle referenced early on, the Pirates are in the top 15 of pretty much every poll that's come out, as high as 8th in collegiate baseball. So from that standpoint, obviously we're going to have you on. We're 3.5 weeks from first pitch. Obviously you've had a lot going on, but in this – as closely as you follow the program, what's your early take on this ball club? I mean, sure, you lose tremendous talents, guys like Gavin Williams, Thomas Francisco, Connor Norby, et cetera, but a tremendous amount of talent returning with the way Coach Godwin and his staff have recruited. So just talk on your early take of the 22 Pirates.
Yeah, you know, like you said, they did lose a lot in terms of Gavin Williams, Thomas Francisco, those guys. But this is a deep club still. You know, there's a lot of guys coming back with their fifth year. And, you know, I was talking about that with someone today, you know, how deep this team is. You know, you got so many veterans in the infield that would probably be your starting lineup right now in terms of Josh Moylan, Zag Agnos, Ryder Giles, Alec Makarevich, which, speaking of Alec Makarevich, if you follow him throughout the year with summer league ball, he had an outstanding summer. It was amazing to see what he did down with the Morehead City Marlins. But, you know, I think one position that I'm really curious to see how it's going to go this year is catcher. You know, I heard a lot of good things on Ryan McChrystal yesterday at media day. And I think that's, as a baseball person, I know how important the position of catcher is to a pitcher, and not only just a pitcher, but to the team in general. So that's one position I'm really intrigued to look at. But I think the outfield is going to be in great shape. Obviously, I heard Riley Johnson can play pretty much anywhere out there in the outfield. You know, you still got Bryson Worrell, who can play pretty much anywhere in the outfield, Lane Hoover as well. So it's a deep team, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them play this year.
Scott, you look ahead at the broadcast. You're doing the radio broadcast. There was some crossover last year on certain games where ESPN Plus, there wasn't an ESPN Plus crew, and they utilized the radio broadcast over top of the ESPN Plus video feed. I don't know if that's going to be done any this year. Have you thought about that? Does that mean anything to you that all of a sudden here you are called Little League Baseball last year, and now you may be calling a game on an ESPN-affiliated broadcast?
It's amazing, honestly. Obviously having the Little League Softball World Series here last year and for the next future years at Elm Street Park, seeing ESPN and meeting so many of those broadcasters and being around the crew, you know, there's a lot that goes into TV production, especially in sports. And, you know, being around those guys and seeing the prep that they do, it's a big job. But also, they're also all about 25 years older than me and have been doing it for a very long time. But for to have that opportunity, like you said, is just amazing at my age. And I am beyond thankful for this opportunity. But it would mean a lot for me to actually do the carryover and possibly be on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen at some point this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine. I guess it's possible that because, you know, with East Carolina last year, they were playing a lot of the fall sports in the spring. So I guess it's possible that they bring in a crew for every single baseball game. But I bet at some point they're gonna utilize the radio feed over top the mm-hmm. television broadcast. So it'll probably happen for you. I would be willing to bet.
Yep.
And Jared chimes in again. Jared Plummer, that is on Facebook. Kind of piggybacking on what he was asking earlier, but more specifically, what are some of your favorite moments in the jungle? Maybe specific games and. Moments within those games, and a big home run or two, and you know favorite baseball moments in general outside of East Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite, really, my first, I would say, big memory from the jungle was I think I was around 9 or 10 years old. I was out there. I remember we were playing Virginia, and it was when Virginia was going through their really strong stretch of really good teams and. I remember it was a late inning home run and Jack Reinheimer hit it. And I actually got the home run ball out in the jungle. And I still have that ball to this day with all my kind of collector baseball items. But that was really a big memory that sticks out to me in the jungle. And then, I would say the Quinnipiac team in the regional a couple years ago, that was really special to see how they interacted with us in the jungle and how much they loved it. I would say one of the funniest thing was, I was, like I said, 10 or 11 years old, and Illinois was here for the LeClaire Classic. And, me being a 10, 11-year-old kid, I wanted to annoy the crap out of their left fielder. And for whatever reason, I really wanted a Big Ten baseball just to add to my collection. And I was all over the left fielder saying, where's my Big Ten baseball? Can I get one? And he finally turns around, I think on day two or day three, and he says, I'm going to get the baseball and I'm going to shove it down your throat. And that obviously incited the jungle faithful out there to get on him. But that's probably one of the funniest memories that I've ever had out there. But in terms of baseball in Greenville, being around J.H. Rose last year for their playoff run and watching them win a state title last year and being around Greenville Little League as well when North State got their World Series run in 2017 is something that I will always cherish and being a part of that. I made the eight-hour trip down to Warner Robins, Georgia the night before the championship of the regional that year so I could be there to see them win it. And being a part of that is something that I will always cherish.
Did you get your Big Ten baseball?
I did. I did get that Big Ten baseball. It is in my collection with that Jack Reinheimer ball.
Nice. Was it the left fielder that gave it to you?
I can't remember if it was the left fielder or not, but I did end up getting it from someone on Illinois. I don't think that left fielder appreciated me too much throughout that weekend.
Wow.
Now, Scooter, you talk about that experience in the 2019 Greenville Regional with Quinnipiac, and that was a very that experience with them embracing the jungle rather than, responding in a negative way, that really shows you at its core what the jungle is about as far as creating an excellent college baseball atmosphere and You see that with so many opponents that come in and they know how to handle it as far as laughing it off and, you know, not responding in a way whether cussing and so forth.
Right. Yeah. And we never, you know, all the guys out there, when they're heckling the guys, you know, they don't mean any of it. They're just trying to, you know, create, like you said, a great atmosphere. And that's all that they're trying to do. And, you know, the ones that, you know, do try to make it a negative, don't really understand what they're trying to do. And like I said, you know, I've said stuff out there many a times, but, you know, it's to make a great college baseball atmosphere. And it's like you said, the ones that respond to it in a positive way, talk back to us, you know, say stuff back to us that's funny. You know, that's what makes those games so special. And you know, it's like the Quinnipiac team, you know, that team will always remember the jungle, and we will always remember that Quinnipiac team.
Kyle, do you have anything else for Scott?
No, not off the top of my head. Just, you know, I would imagine you're going to be getting a lot of phone calls. I'm sure you have already. You'll be getting a lot more of them. And, good luck on that first broadcast against Bryant. I'm sure you're going to be nervous. So you seem pretty confident. I imagine it's going to be confident nerves.
Very nervous for that first broadcast, but can't wait for it to get here.
Just remember, if you screw up, it's okay. Everybody screws up. Just keep going.
That's right.
But as the year goes on, and we have extra innings right here on the Sports Objective each and every Sunday afternoon or evening, just depending on when the games wrap up. You know, it's usually about 7 or 8 o'clock, and we'll take a look back at that week's games. You know, 3, 4, 5 ball games, whatever the Pirates have played, and we look forward to having you on throughout the season. In the past, you know, we've had on Corey and Coach O on a regular basis, and we look forward to continuing that this year with you.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Appreciate your time. We know you've already had several interviews today and have more scheduled. So we'll certainly respect your time, but we will have you back on the show very soon. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Bubba. Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Absolutely. Go Pirates.
Yes, sir. Go Pirates.
Bubba, got anything else?
Excellent conversation there with Scott, better known as Scooter Rogers, the new play-by-play voice of East Carolina baseball. And no, Kyle, that was pretty much it. A little bit of an impromptu show, but we had heard in the last several days, I guess going back to last Wednesday, I'd heard from a very reliable source that this was going to happen. But when I reached out to Scott, obviously he could not spill the beans. Very glad to hear that he got excellent news today, and we look forward to having him back on soon. And hey, it's 3.5 weeks from the start of the season. Before we get out of here, I will go ahead and plug our NCD1 baseball preview. 17 D1 programs around the state of North Carolina. We've caught up with 9 head coaches, including our very own Cliff Godwin. So definitely check those out on our YouTube channel. And you know, we've caught up with other opponents such as Justin Hare, you know, down at Campbell, and then also Coach Pollard from Duke, Coach Forbes from the University of North Carolina, and a whole lot more. So definitely check those out if you love college baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you said, we're 3.5 weeks till the season starts, Bubba, and yeah, looking forward to it. This to me is a dead period in sports because I'm not an NFL guy and I'm not a basketball guy, so I'm ready for baseball to get here.
Yep, it will be here before you know it. It's hard to believe that it's just around the corner, and Pirates looking to have another tremendous season and host another regional, and you know, hopefully this time I host that first super regional since hosting Tennessee way back in 2001 at Granger Stadium.
But, yeah, no doubt. And you know what? If we don't get the host, closest we've ever came to Omaha was on the road against Texas Tech. So maybe we can do it again. And, well, hopefully we'll be at home. But the moral of the story, Bubba, was we can win it on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, like I mentioned, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we have a tremendous amount of East Carolina content as well as other sports-related content there. Also, like and follow us on Facebook and, you know, follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter and TikTok at TheSportsOBJ, and on Instagram at TheSportsObjective. For Kyle Barber, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum, and you have been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Have a great week, everyone. Go Pirates.